Joseph, why don't you just tell us what is the Bell? What were the Nazi scientists trying to find when they were working on this thing? A new plane, a time machine, a bomb, what?
Well, let's describe it first, and then we can get into some of what I think the science was that they were after. The Bell itself was a device that was bell-shaped, and hence that's why the Germans codenamed it Die Glocke, or the Bell. It stood approximately 15 to 18 feet tall and about 12 to 15 feet wide. It was covered or encased in a kind of a ceramic metal casing. And inside this device, they had two counter-rotating hollow drums into which they poured a serum that was codenamed Serum 525 in this Polish war crimes affidavit. Now, the serum itself was described as being kind of a reddish-violet in hue, and it was kind of a gooey, jelly-like liquid. So I suspect that it was some isotope of mercury that perhaps had been doped with other radioactive materials like thorium or barium or something like that. Once inside these two counter-rotating drums, they then sped them at extremely high speeds in opposite directions. Now, during its operation, it had to be tested inside of a ceramic brick room, and then the walls of that room were also lined with rubber mats. So in other words, this thing gave off extreme field effects that we'll also talk about once we get into this. Now, I believe what they were trying to do with these counter-rotating drums was cancel out or zero vector the forces, magnetic forces, and create a kind of a bubble around the device. And what they were really trying to do, and again, this is kind of going back to Dr. Walter Gerlach and what his specialty was, I believe what they were trying to do was create a kind of a space bubble or space-time bubble around this device and learn how to manipulate the very fabric of space and time itself. Now, once we've said that, that implies that what they're really after is both a device that can be used for propulsion purposes, for some sort of anti-gravity effect, as well as a weapon. And I stress the weapon aspect of this in distinction from Nick Cook or Igor Vitkovsky themselves, because once you have control or the ability to manipulate those kind of forces, then you have the potential for a weapon that can make really a hydrogen bomb look like a kitchen match, which I said before. So the Nazis were playing around with some real doomsday physics here.
How close were they?
I believe all indicators from this affidavit and from other research, I believe that they were extremely close. And again, part of that is based on the fact that the SS itself took such extreme cautions to make sure that this technology and the knowledge of it did not fall into Nazi hands, or pardon me, into Allied hands or Russian hands after the war. And it's really only because of this declassified war crimes affidavit that the story broke at all. And once the installations themselves were discovered, then you kind of put two and two together that they were extremely close. I should stress that one of the installations in this respect is a large concrete structure above ground that looks almost like Stonehenge. It's some sort of test rig for something, and the Polish concentration camp workers that were actually involved as slave laborers for this project state in some of their testimony that at night they would see barrel-like objects ascending above the tree line with kind of a bluish glow around it and then float back down. So in other words, they're describing something that could be the Bell itself. It's very similar. So I think the Nazis were extremely close.
Is there anything in the affidavit of the SS general that refers to, like, firing it up for a test flight or something like that?
No, but it's interesting that you mention that, because the tests themselves of this device are some of the clues that we have to reconstructing what the physics may have been. When the Bell was first tested, it actually killed seven of the scientists involved. So in other words, it achieved some sort of probably nonlinear effect that the scientists were not expecting. Subsequently, the Germans tested all sorts of living matter, plants, animals, and so on in the presence of this device. And one of the peculiar things about those tests were that the plants that they exposed to the Bell began to decay literally within a matter of hours. into kind of a blackish-gray goo. So in other words, the bell, if we measure the effect that it had on plants, the bell was in a way kind of speeding up time. So in other words, again, that's a signal or a signature of something that would be wildly successful in the manipulation of gravity, because if you manipulate gravity, you're manipulating time. The animals and humans that were exposed to the field effects of this device, their cells began to decay and decay rather quickly, so that, again, you had a breakdown of the body metabolism, and some of the effects were quite lasting in some of the people exposed to it. They would experience vertigo, sleeplessness, and so on and so forth. So it was a very toxic device.
Could this have been, in essence, a practical time machine where you can go forward or backward?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's kind of a complicated answer. I'm actually writing a sequel to the SS Brotherhood of the Bell right now. It's at my publisher, and I've uncovered some more information. But the long answer is I don't think it was a time travel device per se, although I think that some of its effects were, as I indicated, to speed up the metabolism and the decomposition of organic material that was exposed to it. So, yes, it was manipulating time effects, but I don't think this is really what the Germans were after. I think that they were after some sort of field propulsion device and ultimately after a weapon based on the ability to manipulate the fabric of space-time.
You mentioned this ceramic brick room and
right.
And the tests that were conducted there and the Polish prisoners of war who had seen different kinds of weird stuff in the sky.
Right.
That brick room really exists, doesn't it? It exists now?
Yes, it does. All of these installations where the bell was tested were in a little German town in Lower Silesia. And for your listeners that don't know where Lower Silesia is, if you look on a map of Germany prior to the war, there's a little arm or finger that sticks down in between Poland and Czechoslovakia. That would be Silesia. It's in modern-day Poland now. But this little town was called Ludwigsdorf. The Polish name of the town now is Ludwikowice. There is, in this town, an old mine called the Wenceslas Mine, which the SS took over and converted into the underground installations to test this device. And then close to this mine, there is this henge-like structure that looks like Stonehenge that I mentioned before. And there's also another thing that I should mention that's a very signal clue into some of the physics that's probably involved. And that is, the Germans built an entire power plant, an electrical power plant, right there in those installations. Now, to my mind, that's a significant clue because it may indicate that they were requiring high voltage direct current electricity beyond the ability of capacitors or batteries, banks of batteries to provide. So, again, they were experimenting with some very, very avant-garde notions in physics.